I've got a lot to say and a little time to say it. So you guys got to listen quickly. Amen? So, rapido. Yes, yeah, see. See, my friend. I was inspired. We saw Samuel Rodriguez on Thursday night, and I appreciated his Spanish. He inspired me. I'm going to. He'd be speaking in English, and then all of a sudden he'd just say something in Spanish. So, but God spoke to us. And I knew. So let me tell you what's going on. So I'm in the middle of a series. I just started this series. Wednesday, I preached a sermon, and I knew exactly what I was going to preach. I knew it was the word that God had for us, and I preached it. Didn't get through the sermon, but it was a powerful thing that happened Wednesday night. I went home, and I shared with my wife some things. And she shared with me what Isaac had preached to the youth. And God is just moving in a radical way in this church. But the Holy Spirit told me, here's what he said. He said, I want you to preach Sunday the same word that you preached on Wednesday. I thought, well, what about all the people who came Wednesday? He said, don't sweat them. Just be obedient to what I'm telling you to do. So, Pastor, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach the same sermon that I preached on Wednesday, at least the same notes. I know it'll come out a different way. I know if you've already heard this sermon, you're going to be doubly blessed. And how many came Wednesday? Raise your hand if you came Wednesday. Raise your hand. Keep your hand up if you came Wednesday. Okay, say this is going to be good. Now, raise your hand if you haven't heard Wednesday's sermon. Raise your hand real high, real high, real high. See, how many know the Holy Spirit's smarter than me? Come on, keep your hand up. How many know the Holy Spirit's smarter than me? Say the Holy Spirit, smarter than the pastor. Imagine this. Keep your hands up. Those of you who didn't hear, just let me preach to you for a while with your hand up. Imagine that I'm going to lean on my understanding and the word that God had for all of us, I'm just going to preach something else. And all of you are going to miss that. You can put your hands down now. Put your hands up if you already heard the word Wednesday. Listen to me. Keep your hands up. God has something to say to you that he's going to deepen your understanding. And maybe, I don't know who this is for, but maybe you thought you heard it. Oh, this is hard, but I'm gonna tell him anyway. You thought you heard it, but you didn't hear it. In that, there's application that you're still not making. I don't know who this is for. And I'm speaking to you. It's really important you hear what I'm saying to you. All right, so you guys ready? Yeah. All right, so here's what happened. You know, this happens to me all the time. I'm just minding my own business, you know what I mean? And we have, the mayor comes, and this is 7 years ago. Mayor comes to our church. And, you know, you don't want to freak out the mayor, right? Exactly. Exactly. So, you don't want to freak out the mayor. I remember one time, can I tell a bunch of stories today? I remember a time, we had this time of prayer where all the churches got together. You know, and not all the churches believe in speaking in tongues and prophesying. How many know that? And we're the host. And I'm thinking, man, I just, you know what? I mean, I'll do whatever the Holy Spirit says, but I don't want to freak anybody out. You know what I mean? And it was that night that the Holy Spirit just, just cranked it up to 90. You know what I mean? And you know what? Especially if somebody's unfamiliar with this, and I given the choice of speaking a word prophetically or speaking a tongue and then giving the interpretation, I would rather just go to the cut to the chase and just speak the prophetic. I know I can give the person two nickels or I can give the person a dime. Two nickels is the tongue and the interpretation. A dime is just the prophetic or just the prophecy. How many are following me on that? Raise your hand if you're following me so I know. Okay. But that night, that's not what happened. It was as loud of a, you know what, a tongue, as forceful as I mean, just as ever that happened in our church. But see, I've learned not to have to figure everything out. I've learned that I would be better just to do what the Holy Spirit says and let the chips fall where they may. Because see, I don't know you as well as he knows you. So it was a time like that. The mayor comes and I kind of know his background. You know what? Spiritually, in that, you know what, came from a Catholic upbringing. At that point in time, I don't know where he goes to church now, but I think he was still going to a Catholic church. You know what I mean? And but the Holy Spirit wants to give him a prophetic word. And so, boom, 2 weeks later, or 2 days later, I forget, we're in the park. He is so excited about the word that we spoke over him. You know, I don't even know what he called it. He called it something funny. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God gave me a special message or something. You know what I mean? It wasn't religious. A special prayer. He was so, never had a prayer like that. I was so excited. And since that time, God has done a supernatural work in him. And I'm not saying that God is done with him, but praise God, God's not done with us either. Amen? Amen. So, but in that prayer, in that prophetic, yeah, thank you. In that prophetic, God is so funny. So in that, in that prophetic word, God said some things. I spoke to a group on of pastors on Wednesday, and I was asking for my wife for direction. I often will go to her and say, hey, do you sense something? Because she is my helpmate, and many times she'll say, yeah, Pastor, I sense that the next series we need to do this. And I'll think, oh, that's exactly what we need to do. And I just wasn't sure where we were going. So I said, honey, you know what? I'm speaking to the pastors, you know, this week. Do you have anything? And she said, well, I think if you could reiterate the prophetic word, that might be something that we need to do. So I had something completely prepared. And then that night, right before the Wednesday morning, so Tuesday night, I'm sleeping, and the Holy Spirit says, no, here's what I want you to preach. I was like, ah, Lord, okay, all right. So I preached that to them, and then Wednesday, he said, here's what I want you to do the Wednesday group. So I said, okay. And Wednesday, God just moved in a mighty way, and God's going to move in a mighty way today. But on Wednesday, when I was reading the prophetic, the Holy Spirit said, there are things that was in this prophetic word that were specifically for our mayor, Bob Archuleta. But there was other things that I said that you need to share with the congregation, because this is there are things that they need to understand. Okay? So are you all still with me? Okay. So here's what I want to say. And here's our pieces of this prophetic word. But the pieces that I selected are pieces that we need to hear today. So number one, when the Lord speaks, we need to put a priority on what he says. When the Lord speaks, we need to put a priority on what he says. And that prophetic word, the Lord is speaking. He is saying something to you. He is equipping you that you will have this. I say you will need it because the Lord is saying something. In other words, the Lord isn't saying something just to talk. He's giving you a matrix. He's giving you a plan, and he's not just giving you a plan for any reason. He's giving you a plan specifically because you're going to need that plan. That plan might apply to your 8-year-old girl. That plan might apply to your 12-year-old son. That plan might apply to your husband who is bound in lust. It might apply to your wife, you know, who can't seem to get out of the funk that she's in. It might be a plan for you of getting you out of your funk. It might be a financial plan to empower you to be able to fund a ministry or to fund a project. But God is saying, you need to hear what I'm saying because I'm telling you it before it happens so you're ready when it happens. You need to hear what I'm saying. Pico Rivera will be known far and wide, not because Pico is such a great place. It is a great place. We love our city. But Pico Rivera is a place where the Spirit of the Lord will be honored and revered. And because of that, because of what? Because of our willingness to revere the Spirit of the Lord and honor the Spirit of the Lord, we will see the power and the movement of God in the city that has never been seen in any other place. Because we are fighting for what the Lord has a destiny he has for this city. Plans he has to bring to fruition, and it will take his army, his body in place with courage of the Lord, wisdom of the Lord with you. See, that's the plan. And you must know that he is with you, and he is with you always. So fear not. Be full of courage. Push out fear. And know, if God is with you, who can be against you? And we will see like we have never seen the presence of the Lord. As this is a place where he is designated that he will visit in a strong and mighty way, that we need to do as people in the city, what we need to do as people in the city is to keep, listen to this, is to keep our hearts right, main emphasis, listen, and cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We will cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. It is a time to till the seeds and to get closer to him than you have ever gotten close to him, because you will need him. as you go forth in the battle that he has for you. Come and receive that. Now, that's a lot. But I'm going to break it down in three ways. Number one. Everybody say number one. Guys with the notes, number one. We need to, hearing the plan, we need to hear the plan of God. We need to hear what God is saying to us. We need to hear what God is saying to us. We need to hear the plan. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. Everybody say a long while before daylight. Now let me tell you what a long while before daylight means. It doesn't mean a quarter to six. How many know that would be a short time before daylight? Yeah. A long time. I don't know because it didn't say what time. Could have been 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Could have been 4 o'clock in the morning, right? I don't know what time. But a long time means it was a long time. Having risen a long time before daylight. I don't know. I don't know that he planned it. I'll talk about that in a minute. Everybody say it's important to have a plan. It's important to have a plan. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Have a plan of connecting to God. No, dude, I'm just, dude, that's not how it works. I'm just organic, man. God just talks to me through the day. Praise God. God should talk to you through the day, and you ought to hear God through the day. But you need to also be intentional. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But how many ever woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning? It's like, wake up. How many ever woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning? You're like, ooh. So you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You're like, ooh, you know what? I'm gonna sleep on this side. Ooh. And so you stand there. You're like, ooh, for like 5 minutes. And you're like, ooh, I'm going to sleep on this side. Ooh, I'm going to sleep on my back. Ooh. And you're like 5 minutes on all sides, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get a drink of water. You get up and get a drink of water. You go back to bed. But you don't go back to sleep. You just go back to bed. How many know what I'm talking about? And for, I mean, years and years and years. I mean, years and years and years. Years and years and years. You know what? What I would do is just lie there in bed. And, got to go to bed. Got a big day tomorrow. Got to go to sleep. Got a big day tomorrow. Sleep, 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 sleep. Go to sleep, Drew. How many ever tried it? And you're just like, what's going on? And then the next thing you know, I'm supposed to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And you know what? And I wake up at 2 in the morning, and it's 3 in the morning, and it's 4 in the morning, and it's 5 in the morning, and at 5:45, I go to sleep. How many relate to this? It's like, that was so stupid. And I was listening to Robert Morris, and I got revelation knowledge of what was going on there. Never knew it. How many believe there's angels that exist? And they're sent to minister to us. You know what I'm being? And I'm not saying that every time it is an angel. I don't know. But I believe it could possibly be an angel just at 2 o'clock in the morning saying, hey, Drew, wake up. Hello? And all of a sudden I'm up. And what Robert Morris taught me is don't fight it. Flow with the Holy Spirit. And get up. And so now, if I wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I know, and this is true almost all the time, it's just the Holy Spirit waking me up. He said, Pastor, what do? I get up. I get up. I go to my prayer place, which is in the living room, and I pray. And I might pray for 10 minutes. I might pray for 20 minutes. I might pray for an hour. But if I pray for an hour, even if I pray for an hour, he woke me up 2 o'clock, now it's 3 o'clock. And then you know what I do? I go back to bed. But I not just go back to bed, I go back to sleep. Is someone learning something today? I just save you a lot of time, amen? Just get up. Don't fight the Holy Spirit. Flow with the Holy Spirit. Flow with the Holy Spirit. So I get up. I don't know what's going on here. Here's what I do know. That God, Jesus, was intentional with his spending time with God. I don't know in this case because it doesn't tell me. But I know that you need to be intentional. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And he went out and departed into a solitary place. Now, here's the key. Everybody say solitary place. See, can I tell you? Here, I love you guys. How many know I love you guys? How many are going to tell me I love you? How many know we love you enough to tell you the truth? Most of the problems that Christians have in their life is they don't have the plan. You got to get the plan. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to get the plan. You have to get the plan. You have to get the plan. Amen. You look at a football game. They all get the plan. Amen. They all get the plan. They look at the coach. Coach, what's the plan? They got somebody. You know what they got? They got somebody way above, way up high. And they radio to the coach, hey, they're doing this on the defense every time. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to fake it to the back and then throw it, have the wide receiver, because the secondary is biting. They're coming in. We can burn them. And they see it all the time because they're looking way up high. They see it. So they'll radio to the coach. The coach will then give this signal to the quarterback, and then, here's the key, and then all the players come, and they get in this huddle, and the quarterback gives them the plan, amen? Hello? How many know as talented as those athletes are, if none of them had a plan, if they all just lined up, And the only plan was hike it to the quarterback and then just do something. How many know they would hardly ever score a touchdown?
I almost drunk. That was funny.
You need a plan. Look at your neighbor. See, you need a plan. Listen. I cannot stress this enough. I cannot stress this enough. I cannot. When the Lord speaks, we need to put a priority in what he says. We got to get the plan. We got to get his plan. We got to understand he's talking. Amen. The question is, are we listening? I appreciate Isaac and his faithfulness to be transparent. Thank you. So how many people, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many people would say in this room that the first thing that when Isaac said that, you could totally relate to Isaac, that the first thing that you're doing when you wake up is to get on your phone and find out what the people are saying in the news. Here, let me tell you in advance what the people are saying in the news. Can I give you what they're saying in the news? Yeah. Let me tell you. I'll give you tomorrow's news. I'll give you the next day's news. I'll give you the next day's news. Oh, yeah. I'll give you the next month's news. I'll give you four. Listen, exactly. I will prophetically tell you what the news is. It's bad. They're negative. Yeah. They want to pit one group against another group. That's what they excel in. That's what they're about. And all the reading in the world you're probably going to get no revelation knowledge. Or you get on your telephone to find out what your friends are saying. You know what your aunt's doing, what your uncle's doing, what your neighbor's doing. You know how many likes you have. Right? I'm just saying. Here's the problem with that. Listen to me. That's not the plan. That's not the plan for the day. That's not the plan for your family. That's not. Do you think the pastor in South Korea, who pastors, I don't even know how big his church is now, you know, 80,000 or, I don't know, it's some crazy amount. 500, what, 500,000. So, do you think that man is busy? Do you think that man is busy? You think he has some leaders to meet with? You know what Pastor Cho says that he does? He wakes up and he prays for 3 hours. And he prays with a pen and he writes down what the Holy Spirit tells him to do. And then after 3 hours are over, you know what he does for the rest of the day? Whatever the Holy Spirit told him to do on the piece of paper. You said, Pastor, but I can't do that. Oh, watch this. I can't do that. I have a job. How do you know you can't do that? Now I'm getting way ahead of myself, which is my second point, to cooperate with the plan. See, even you saying, I can't do that, reveals your, from your heart, the mouth speaks. It reveals your heart. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is telling you to wake up and spend 3 hours with him. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, do you know what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do? And how do you know what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do if you're too busy to listen to the Holy Spirit? See, the number one thing you have to do is you have to hear God's plan. You cannot. Everybody look at me, right up here. Right up here. Look at the middle of my nose. You have to get the plan. It's not optional. I mean, it's not optional if you want to fulfill the calling on your life. If you want to fulfill the purpose, if you want to be free, if you want to be dynamic, if you want God, how many want God to use you in a mighty way? How many of you are tired of being used in a minor way to God? How many of you are tired of being marginalized and knowing that there's potential in you and you never fulfilling that potential? I don't know whom I'm speaking to, but I preached a sermon recently saying, run to the middle. Stop running to the middle. Stop thinking that God doesn't have incredible things for your life. Stop being satisfied with the intentions of the world. I remember getting into my home, and I live in a beautiful home, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and it took years of saving and discipline to get in my home. And it took being obedient by the Holy Spirit. I invested in a stock and God just supernaturally blessed it. I bought it in about its all-time low and I sold it about its all-time high. And it went and it doubled over and 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 over again. And then I sold it. And after I sold it, then it went the other way over and over and over and over and over again and went back down as low as I bought it at. Could somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. But I sat at the end, and we have a long hall that goes to the bedrooms. And I sat at the end of the hall, and the Holy Spirit, and as proud as I wanted to be, say, yes, look, at this is my home. It's on a half acre. You know what? And I got a barn. How many of y'all have a barn? Amen. I got a barn. Amen. I'm blessed of the Lord. I got a barn. And I stood at the end of the hall, this beautiful home on a half acre. And the Holy Spirit said, you know what? Just so you know, let me put it in proper perspective. You know what? Little drooper. This is not your home. You are just a steward of what I've given you. That's all this is. And when you die, this home will be given to somebody else to steward. So be a good steward of your home. All I'm saying is, you have to get the plan. Because God doesn't want you to fulfill part of what you're called to do. God wants you to fulfill everything that he's called you to do. Number one, you have to get the plan. And you're not going to get the plan without a purposefulness of you spending time with God. Number two, you have to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. I've had all kinds of people come into my office. Pastor, what do you think? They're looking for direction. There's a whole lot of people who don't even come to my office. You know why they don't come to my office? Because they don't want counsel. They don't want counsel. They want to do exactly what they want to do. But then I have other people that come to my office, and I'll give them counsel, and after they hear my counsel, they'll just go out and just do whatever they want to do. And I'm not saying that I'm right every time. I'm just saying we can do the same thing with the Lord. You have to cooperate with what he tells you to do. And I've had times that I spent time with the Lord, and then he tells me what to do. I shared this with the Wednesday group, and I'm not saying that you have to homeschool your kids. I'm just telling you my story. But when the Holy Spirit said, you need to take your kids out of the school system and start to homeschool them, I was like, you know what, is the Lord, are you crazy? Do you not know my schedule? You think I got time to do that, God? What are you talking about? See, why do we think we know more than what the Lord knows? Amen? So what did I do? I told my wife. And you know, she was like, praise the Lord, Drew, hallelujah. How many know that's not what she told me? She said, Drew, are you crazy? We don't got time to do that. What are you supposed to do when God tells you to do something? You got to just do it. Start to cooperate. I'm sitting there minding my own business. And the Holy Spirit says, take that oil and anoint yourself. I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Whatever. So I go over there and I take the oil and I anoint myself. Then I put the oil back. Then he says, hey, now I want you to anoint all the worship team. Yes, as soon as worship's over, after the break, I'll grab them all. He says, now I want you to do it right now. I said, Lord, they're praying right now. All these people are going to think, what is Pastor doing? What is he doing? I'm looking at the worship team thinking when I anointed them, they're like, what are you doing, Pastor? You're so weird. I'll just testify. I went to Richard first. Because I knew Richard would kind of not freak out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. And he just smiled like I knew he would. Amen. And then I knew all the other people would kind of see what I'm doing. Okay, Pastor's just, you know, whatever. Just anointing us. You know, everybody received it with gladness. I'm just saying, you know, what do you do when the Holy Spirit? Listen, here, cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is saying. And my final point, I told you I'd be quick. My final point. Guys, go number three. Be full of courage. Be full of courage. That's what the Lord told us. Look, he says, and you must know that he is with you, and that he is all, and he is with you always. So fear not. Be full of courage, and push out fear. So I get the plan, and when I get the plan, you know, I got to push out the fear. I got to push it out. I got to say, no, I don't care what people think. I'm led by the Spirit. If God is saying doing it, I'm doing it. If God is saying do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what he says to do. And I did it. Yeah. Mr. Pastor, what significance did that have? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have to figure it all out. But I got to be full of courage. I've got to have courage to write a letter if he says write a letter. I've got to courage to forgive if he says forgive. I got to have courage. Sometimes you have to have courage to be generous when he says be generous. One time my wife comes home and says, we're supposed to give $500 to this ministry. I'm like, $500? Are you crazy, woman? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. How many know we got to have courage sometimes to be faithful? To not give up, to not quit. We have to push out fear. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to have courage. We have to push out fear. We have to be courageous. And when God told us to homeschool our kids, you know what? That was the kookiest plan in the world. And God spoke to me. We went down to the public school system. We had just moved into our house. We were in the best school in the district, the elementary school, the best school in the district. We went and to sign our kids up, and my wife was signing it, and I just was walking around. I went into the cafeteria, and in the cafeteria, it was striking to me because on the walls were all kinds of things, you know what, go green, and you know what, and I don't know, just different stuff. But what struck me is, there was no pictures of Abraham. There was no picture of Moses. There was no scripture on the wall. And as I looked around and saw all kinds of, listen to me, all kinds of agendas, all kinds of purposefulness, all kinds of things to try to get these kids inspired. What was striking to me is the absence of anything godly. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know why you see nothing? Because they kicked me out a long time ago. And if any teacher will say, I just want to pray with you today. You know what? I just want to anoint you with oil, and I'll just take a minute, but I want to pray for all the boys lined up over here, all the girls lined up here. I'm just going to anoint you with oil. How many know? They would flip out. How many know if you're a school teacher, public school teacher, you just start saying, you know what? Just before we start this service, boys and girls service, before we start the day, you know what, I just want to take some time. I'm just going to pray a little bit over you. How many know? You know what? Reported, third grader goes crazy. Third grade teacher goes crazy. Speaking in what she calls tongues. Oh my goodness. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you know what? They kicked me out so long ago. Here's what the public school system says. God, out! And stay out! And we mean it! Because we will fire any teacher that has the tenacity to talk about Jesus. We will fire them. And we will not apologize. Because what we have as a shared value is God. Out and stay out. Pastor, God said that to you? Oh, so clear. You mean God will speak to you? Yes, if you listen to him. Listen, I must say something very important. I believe in the intentionality that you have towards God, in you spending time with him, most of you in the morning, will enable him a freedom to talk to you in the afternoon. The intentionality that you have to have a prayer time to say, I'm going to purposefully. You know what people love? People love intentionality. We had a anniversary, and I had Mickey. Just tell Tamara you wanna, let's go to a spa. Let's get a massage. Let's get a facial. And so she went with Mickey, and then when she came out, I had a limousine ready. And I think Mickey even said, you know what? Wow, look, somebody's going to go on a limousine ride. Tamara didn't know she was going to go on a limousine ride. So we picked her up. I picked her up, and we went to Tony Romo's, which is where I asked her to become my wife. And after I got done, Tony Romo's, we went home. I had 30 candles all lit up outside in our outside patio. I didn't recognize. Listen, guys, let me give you a clue. Don't buy 30 vanilla candles and light them all. Because we went outside and it was like, whoa. We were like, vanilla. I'm just telling you. But it was beautiful, amen? And it did smell good. So all I'm saying is, listen, intentionality ministers to people that you love. And your intentionality is going to minister to God. Oh, yes. My child is intentional today. It's not like, oh, God, thank you for this, double-double. Oh, I love In-N-Out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to praise God. Pray for your food. Amen. Pray. Thank God. Thank God for In-N-Out. Amen. What I'm saying is intentionality. Are you hearing what God is saying? Guys, we got to get the plan. And when we get the plan, we got to hear what God is saying. And we got to follow the plan. No matter what the plan is. Because he knows. Sweetie, I'm sorry I went.
The word of God says that those who are his sons are led by his spirit. And so what we're talking about is if we're moving into a time, and I believe that we are, and we've shared it many times with the church, we're moving into a time that is going to be a wonderful time for God's people, where God is going to do great things. But God's going to be the one to do it. Just like you see in the Word of God, Jesus, everything he did, he got the plan from the Father. He says he didn't say anything but that which he heard the Father say. And he'd go and he'd get the plan. He did what he saw the Father do. And that's what God wants of us. It's the same. We need to become way more familiar with the Holy Spirit. I want to just give you some scriptures, about the Holy Spirit very quickly. You might have to go to Facebook and get these all jotted down if you can't write fast. I'm going to just talk about things that the Word of God shows us about the Holy Spirit. He was involved in creation, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. So he was there right from the very beginning. The moment that you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells you that. Ephesians 1:13 and 14 tells you that. He's our helper. John 14:15-17 tells you that. John 14:26 tells you that. Romans 8:26 tells you that. He gives us wisdom. Isaiah 11:2 tells you that. The Holy Spirit is an awesome gift giver. He gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:1-11 tells us that. He gives us guidance. Romans 8:14 tells us that. Galatians 5:18 tells us that. He's living inside believers. He lives inside us. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 tells you that. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells you that. The Holy Spirit is God. Is God in you? Acts 5:3-5 tells you that. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 tells you that. The Holy Spirit convicts the world. John 16:7-11 tells you that. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30 tells you that. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual illumination to you. 1 Corinthians 2:7-13 tells you that. The Holy Spirit loves us. Romans 15:30 tells you that. He's a third person of the Trinity. Matthew 28:19. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Spirit works in our lives to conform us into the image of God. Galatians 5:22 tells you that. The Spirit is omnipresent. Psalms 139:7-10 tells you that. The person without the Spirit. This is Romans 8:19. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive the truths from God's Spirit. He's our reminder. He reminds us of things. He brings things to our remembrance. Romans 14:17. We have that at our fingertips. Amen. We have that in us. But do we take advantage of that? That sounds like a bad word to say it that way, but, you know, do you access that? Everything that has happened in my life that is good, the Holy Spirit preceded it. It pretty much went like this. The Holy Spirit, then fear, then pushing out that fear, then walking out what the Spirit said, and then walking right into something that was a blessing. And I can track that with all kinds of stuff in my life. He knows what you don't know. He's also, the Word of God in Acts 1-8 tells us that he's the one who gives us power. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to become way more cognizant of him in our life on a moment-by-moment, day-to-day basis. And that's what we're talking about. We cannot do what God has called us to do in this city. We cannot be who he wants us to be in this city if we're not letting him tell us what to say and tell us what to do. So we got to get the plan. And we get that plan, you know what? It's so practical. It's so real. You've heard many of the testimonies where God will say something, and then that's like, I don't want to do that. You know what? I don't want to say that. But I do it anyway. And man, have we been blessed from listening to the Holy Spirit. And once in a while, like with the stock, I remember with that stock, it was like, Pastor, I said, hey, I think that that's the one that the Holy Spirit was talking about. He's like, me too. We were just in total agreement, and we were just on it. But when the Spirit first told us that we would be buying a stock, a lot of time went by. We were like, not that one, not that one. We're just waiting. You know what? It's like, I thought we were going to buy stock. You know, we knew God had told us. But we waited, and we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And then he said, now. When we sold it, it was the same thing. You know what? Because when it kept on going up, 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 up. Should we sell? No. Should we sell? No. Should we sell? No. Do you know that's kind of nerve-wracking when you buy it like way low and it's already like tripled and he's saying no? And our friends were telling us, you're crazy. Sell. I was like, no, God's not saying sell. Aren't we glad we listened to the Holy Spirit and not our friend? Don't you understand? He knows everything. And then there's times where I heard the Spirit and it wasn't so clear, and I wish I would have listened. And those are some of my greatest tragedies, can I tell you that? Some of my greatest regrets is when I wasn't able to distinguish so clear his voice that's what he was saying. And then, after, you know, Monday morning quarterback's a beautiful thing. Afterwards, you're like, oh, no wonder. I thought that was me, but that that was him. And I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? I've learned the hard way, you know what, that I need to be able to hear him. Because there's great gain in front of us to hear him, and there's great loss if we don't. And you know what the truth is? There's only one person who cares more about you than you. You know, we love ourselves. We are about us. We have to fight to not be about us. Do you understand that? It's our nature to just take care of moi. But one thing that I know, and you need to know this, nobody knows you like he does. And nobody loves you like he does. And so when I'm in that struggle, it is that knowing of that helps me take that step that I don't want to take. You know why? Because I trust him. And he has shown himself trustworthy. And I've learned the hard way that when I miss it with him, I'm about to pay the piper on something. And then I just want to bawl, because it's like, God, he tried to help me. He knew when he tried to save me from this, but I couldn't distinguish it from my spirit and myself. So it's really good. You never know when the big things are coming. Do you understand that? So it's really good to practice this on a daily basis so that you're ready. You know what? In the little things. Remember we talked about him telling me to get milk one time, and I thought it was kind of silly. And then I walked in the door. My mom says, oh, I was trying to get a hold of you. We need milk. Tamara. Does that make sense? We need to get the plan from him. And we're not getting the plan without doing it just exactly like Jesus did. Jesus was our model. He showed us how to do it. He spent time with the Father. He got quiet and he got alone with the Father. How do you do that? You do that with your Bible. You do that in prayer time. Amen? And hear what he has to say and then trust him.